Well, it's certainly good to be here tonight. I appreciate the prayer. I appreciate what Brad said in his prayer about we pray for the courage to repent. And what that is about is humility. I appreciate also what he said about Brother Scott getting up here and taking the lead part and these other young men that do that. That is so wonderful. And that is so encouraging when you see that. Because you see these young people take interest in doing things and wanting to do things. And I know back when I was young, I appreciated people encouraging me. I had a second cousin who was, some of y'all know Harry Moore. Some of you older ones do, but he was my third cousin. And Harry's daddy, Clyde Moore, was very encouraging to me when I was young. And I look back now and realize that he and a great uncle of mine was how encouraging they were. And it wasn't a lot of words they would say, but they would make comments to you and encourage you to keep on keeping on and how important it is to work for the Lord and this sort of thing. So it's good to see that. I'm trying to sneeze. I'm trying not to, really. It's hard to admit being wrong. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. You've been wrong? Well, that very cousin I talked about a while ago, Clyde, I don't think I'll ever forget this. He and his wife, Marzell, was at our house one night years ago. Of course, they've both gone on now, but Clyde was one of the kind of people that just had a real sparkling personality, just enjoyed to be around, but he was telling something, and Marcia said, Clyde, I don't believe it wasn't that way, and he said this. He said, well, I'm positive I'm right, and then he said, but it could be wrong. Now, he wasn't trying to be funny. I guess he just reflected on what he had said. I'm positive I'm right, but it could be wrong. And so Sue and I we've had that saying for years. And sometimes I'll say that. I'm positive I'm right, but I could be wrong. But what if we admitted we were wrong? You know the last time you said you was wrong? It's not easy, is it? You really rather not say it. It really just, go on now. I know. But we don't like to admit being wrong. Why? He said, well, preacher's pride. And what did Brad say? The courage to repent. Sometimes we don't repent because if we come up before the church and we say that we have sinned, we were wrong, there's a kind of a stigma attached to it, isn't it? And we really don't want to do that. I tell you, I heard some sermons sometime, and I think if somebody goes up at night, people may think that person is coming back tonight is guilty of all those things the preacher talked about. You ever think about that? I mean, the preacher might give a laundry list of a lot of things that's bad, but they're all sin, aren't they? Have you ever told your wife, I was wrong. You're right. What do we add to it sometime? What do we do? Think about it for a moment. We say, well, you know, I was wrong this time, but, you know, 45 years ago, December the 1st, you were wrong too, about 9 o'clock in the morning. So we remember all these things about when somebody else is wrong, but we tend to forget when we were wrong, don't we? What do we need? Don't you think a good old dose of humility? Don't you think that would be good for us to admit we were wrong? I was wrong. You are right. And I tell you something else, too. It's a little harder to admit you're wrong to somebody that's kind of a smart aleck. That's right a lot of me. And they're smart about things. And then to tell them that you were wrong, and they kind of gloat over it, so to speak. Now, I told you. I told you. Then you don't want to. But what about in religious matters? You been wrong in religious matters? Have you? You remember in reading the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, and Peter was preaching there. And as he preached to them about their sin and what they had done, it said in verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. They were touched by what Peter had said about their sin, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So Peter, you've convinced us of our sin. You convinced us that we have done wrong, but what are we going to do about what we've done that was wrong? Well, that took some courage, didn't it? Okay, they could have stood there and argued. They could have stood there and said, no, no, we don't believe you. We're not going to accept this. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. How many times have we gladly received the word? How many times have we just said, well, I know he's right, I know I'm wrong, but I'm not going to change how I'm living. I'm not going to correct my life, and we just kind of fold our arms and we say we're not going to do it. Humility. I was wrong. I am sorry. I made a mistake. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Isn't that wonderful? To think about people that would accept, first of all, being wrong. First of all, accept, I was wrong. I was wrong in how I've been living. I was wrong. But do you know in the Bible how many times the word I have sinned is found? Less than 15. Judas said it. Prodigal son said it. David said it. Have you ever said it? I have sinned. Judas said, I have sinned and that I betrayed the innocent blood. I have sinned. What I have done is wrong. I see my sin. I see my mistake. What I've done is wrong. You know, us men sometimes, we've been accused of, when we're going on a trip, we don't want to stop and ask directions. You ever heard that about men? Say, women will do it. Man, no, no, this is the right way. This is the road. This is it. This is the right way. So we keep on driving, don't we? We keep on going because we don't want to admit that we don't know the way. Because we are the daddy. We are the husband. We are the head of the family. And we're supposed to be the leader. But we don't want to say we're wrong, do we? Does that go into religion also? Do you think it does? Can we admit that we were wrong? We must always investigate what we believe. Investigate? Well, I've been going all my life here. What do I need to investigate? Do you ever read behind the preacher? You just swallow what he says and that's okay and you just accept that? Or do you search the scriptures to see if what he said is true? What he's teaching is true? Heard a man say one time, his preacher came, he's kind of a new preacher, and he wanted to know about this preacher. He said, because my children will be listening to this. My children will hear this. Another man told me one time over in Mississippi, he said, Brother Bass, the truth never hurts as long as that's all you ever hear. But if you ever hear a lie, and then somebody comes back and tells you the truth hurts because you have believed a lie. You ever thought, you thought a lie was the truth. And now you find out it was not the truth. It was a lie. And he said, that's why it's so important that we always are truthful with other people. Because if they learn, if they understand it's a lie, they think it's the truth, it's going to hurt later on. We need to investigate what we hear, what we believe. And if an investigation does disclose that what we believe is wrong, are we going to turn back from it? Are we going to change our mind about it? Are we just going to keep on going like we're going? You know, he spoke about in Matthew 15 and 14, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a pit. And so, if I am living my life and not teaching the truth, I may lead somebody else in the wrong way. Paul spoke about in Acts chapter 20, about after his departing, and he said there, in verse 28, well, let's go back a little bit further. He says in verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. And brethren, let's think about as we teach others. I had an occasion several years ago, this man and woman came to me, said, Brother Bass, I want to talk to you, okay. And they were in their second marriage. And let me see if I can get this story close to, I can't get it exactly straight, but I can get close to it. But the man, his wife had been unfaithful, his first wife. And the woman's husband had beat her. And they had divorced their first mates, and they had married each other. Okay, the woman had been beaten by her husband. He hadn't been unfaithful as far as she knew. But the man's wife had been unfaithful. And so they asked me what about their situation. Well, I told them, I said, well, you're living in adultery. I said, you're married till death do you part. Now, you could separate. You couldn't live with somebody beating you or somebody's unfaithful with you. But you can't remarry. Now, when we tell people things, we got to realize that what God's Word says. And you can't make excuses for it. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't get around it. You've got to tell people like it is. Don't you agree? They need to know the truth. And let me say something else to you tonight, too. If your kids get involved in this, and you stand up for a minute, do you know what you're doing? You're encouraging them to stay in it. That's right. That's what you're doing. You're encouraging them to stay in the situation they're living in. And what they're living in is wrong. And we've seen that happen. You may have seen that happen. And you think, well, the best thing to do is just you got to separate and stay single. Now, Paul says here, I'm not shunned declaring to you all the counsel of God in verse 27. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. He's talking to the elders here at Ephesus. And to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of thee 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul says here, there shall be grievous wolves come in. They won't spare the flock. But brethren, if they come in, are we going to know what they say is wrong? And if we're wrong, will we admit that we're wrong? Will we? Or will we just contend that what we've done all these years is right? Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when we pray through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. We're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We're not sprinkled on. People don't pour water on us. But what if you were raised this way to believe that sprinkling was okay? And what if you studied your Bible and found out that baptism was an immersion, that it was not the right way? Would you admit that you were wrong? Or would you try to hold on to the way that you have been brought up? At one time, Paul's name was Saul. And Saul, it'd be hard to find anyone in the Bible that completely turned around like he did, wouldn't it? Because for a long time in his life, he lived persecuting the church. And he said about himself, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this I did. He persecuted the church. And he also said in Acts 23:1, I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day. And what he was doing, he thought he was right. He felt good about what he was doing. And we may be the same way. We may feel good about what we're doing. But later on, he found out he was wrong. And he spoke about himself and he says, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And he says also that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He felt so badly about what he had done before that now he knew what was right to do. He felt like he was the chief of sinners. Honesty of purpose and absolute conviction does not mean that we're right. We may be honest. We may be convinced that what we're doing is right and what we're teaching is right, but it does not make it right. It does not guarantee that for us. Saul turned back on his previous religion. He turned away from that. He realized he was wrong. He realized that his life he was living was wrong. And he had to change. He had to do something about his life. And that's exactly what he did. Can we do that? Why are you a member of the church? That's a good question, isn't it? Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Why do you have the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Why were you baptized? Why do you give as you've been prospered? Do you know the scripture that says why you do these things? Say, well, you know, this is kind of the way we was taught. It's kind of the way I was raised. I've always lived this way. Well, what if you find out you was wrong? Could you change? Could you admit that you've been wrong? Have you got scripture to back up of what you do, what you believe, what you say, what you teach? You have investigated, haven't you? And you know that Jesus Christ said upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, how many churches did he promise to build? One church, didn't he? You go into the world today and you go to a congregation of people that meet, and they'll teach you what they believe is right to be saved. What you need to do to be a Christian, to enter into eternal life. You may go and meet with another group for several weeks and they tell you something different. Who is right? Do we know what the Bible says? Do we investigate what we believed? Can we teach others, brethren? Could you teach somebody the truth? Come on now, think about it for a moment. You say, well, you know, preacher, that's pretty tough to do sometimes. People don't want to listen. They want to admit they're wrong. Could you really do it? Could you really get your Bible down and teach them what the Holy Scripture says? In Hebrews, the fifth chapter, it talks about that very problem. In Hebrews 5, in verse 12, now listen to what he says. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. Friends, I'm nearly 70 years old. I done about lived up my 80. So surely by this time in my life, I should be able to tell somebody the good news and teach somebody the truth, shouldn't I? Some of you, a lot of you, not that old. But you know the truth. And you can teach somebody the truth. But what about those that can't? He says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles? Do I need to go back and somebody teach me the first principles of the oracles of God? Could I convince somebody that they're wrong? Could I do it? Have I got that ability? You feel like you can? It's not going to be easy. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What? For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know what we're skillful in? It's computers. Oh, you get these young kids this day and time, they're very skillful. We're skillful in a lot of things. You're skillful in your job, what you do, your work. But how about the word of righteousness? Okay. Can we admit that we've been wrong in not studying enough? If this is us? You say, well, you know, preacher, you're right, said I haven't studied like I should. I've made a mistake there. I've been wrong in not doing that because I couldn't teach somebody the truth. I cannot do it. I'm not capable of doing it. We talked about Brad's prayer. What do you talk about? Talked about Scott being up here and these other young people that take the lead. If they come to you to want to hear the truth and know about some things about the Bible, could you teach them? Or have you been wrong in not studying like you should? And that's kind of hard to say, isn't it? That I've been wrong because I haven't studied deeply as I should have. I've been wrong because I haven't regularly studied like I should have. I've been wrong because I haven't prayed earnestly like I should have. I've been wrong in leaving God out of my life in many ways. I've been wrong in the way I raised my children. And let me tell you something tonight. We will give an account someday of the way we raised our kids. You can be assured of that. You will give an account someday of the way you treated your wife. The way you treated your husband. That's right. For the time's come when you ought to be teachers. He said you need someone to teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Would you admit tonight that you have used your knowledge of God's word to spread the good news about him? Or are you able to? By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can we discern good from evil? Talking about husbands and wife. Let's turn and read in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Do you believe that's what it means? And if tonight you read that scripture and you haven't been doing that, would you admit you've been wrong, wives, in not doing that? Would you admit that? Just flat out say it. "I have not submitted myself to my husband as unto the Lord. I have not done it." Let me ask you another question. Do you think that's a suggestion? Do you? You think that? Do you not think that someday that you will answer that question, that statement right there? Just because you may not like it, you may not want to, or you may try to put in something else that says, "Well, if he is this or if he is that," it doesn't say that. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." As unto the Lord? Well, preacher, you need to take your little old knife and cut that out of your book, because that can't be right. You want to cut it out? You think that'll fix the problem, huh? That'll make you feel better. You'll have to admit you're wrong because you hadn't done it. Friends, I tell you, this book is an eye-opener. Sometimes when you start reading it closely, isn't it? It is. But can you admit you've done it wrong? Can't you admit you haven't done it right, as the Bible says? What else does he say? "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church?" Oh, no. That can't be true. Husband, head of the wife, like Christ is head of the church. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything." Oh, no. Friends, we're talking about just living at home now, okay? And just filling your role in life, okay? Goes on to say, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Let me tell you what, husbands. If you don't love your wife, you're going to go straight to hell. That's just all it is to it. He don't suggest it. He don't say you ought to. If you don't love your wife, you're going to lose your soul. That's right. If you've been wrong about this, and you're not going to love her if you criticize her, nitpick her, you're not going to do it. It's not going to work out. You're not going to love her. You've got to appreciate her. You have got to appreciate her. That's right. And you have got to love your wife. That's right. And if you haven't been doing it, you've been wrong. It is sin. You will lose your soul by doing that. You love your wives as Christ also loved the church. See, brother, this thing admitting you're wrong sometime, I tell you what, it goes far deeper than we realize. I know we think about Paul. He admitted he was wrong. He changed his life. Those people on the day of Pentecost, they admitted they're wrong. They changed their life. But after you do that, after you're baptized, friends, there are things that may still be wrong in your life that you're not changing. And it may not have anything to do with going to church on Sunday and taking the Lord's Supper. It may well be your home life. Listen, listen. Ephesians 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee." Have you been wrong about this? Okay, how much do you honor your father and mother? As long as they live, they'll be your father and mother, okay? You may be grown. They may be old. But the Bible says, honor thy father and mother. Children, obey your parents. You You're talking about my old man? No, talking about your daddy. You don't call him your old man. That's right. You honor your father and your mother. You may have been wrong about that, hadn't you? You may not honor them like you should. You may not obey them like you should. You do a lot of back talking, don't you? Whining, complaining. You do that? Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. Obey your father and mother, that it may be well with thee. He says, thou mayest live long upon the earth. See, your mother and your father, they love you, they care about you, and they care about your well-being. And you honor them, you obey them. Oh, sometimes we don't want to admit we've been wrong. We don't want to admit that we're not living like we should live. We don't like to admit that we're not studying our Bible like we should study and praying like we should pray. But friends, now is the time to change our lives. Now is the time to show humility and to have the courage, as Brad said, to repent, to change what you're doing. Say, well, you know, I never thought about it this way. Paul also says, in Ephesians chapter 5, be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Now what did he say? He says fornication. We know that's sin, don't we? Living that way, you got to give it up. Uncleanness or impurity. But then he says something else, see this, that we don't feel like is quite as bad, covetousness. We covet things. We covet things other people's got. That is something you've got to quit. He says, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. And then he goes on to say, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. Well, you know, I don't know. What's this talking about? Dirty stories, foul talk, buffoonery. Coarse jokes. Talking about making fun of Jewish people, black people. That's not convenient. That is not convenient. And friends, you have got to see that it's wrong and quit doing that. He says, but rather giving of thanks. For you know that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, and there he goes again with that word covetousness. He said, who is an idolater? So if I covet something, I idolize that. I got to realize that is wrong and quit doing that. Forsake that. Repent of that. In the book of Acts, tells an interesting story about an interesting man, and the man's name is Cornelius. Beginning at chapter 10 of Acts, verse 1, there's a certain man in Caesarea named called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Listen to this man's credentials. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Sound good fella. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Cornelius was a good man. But friends, he was wrong. He had to be baptized. He had to be born again. Now, if we were that man, if we were living like that, would we change? Would we be baptized? You know, give Cornelius credit. He didn't point to all his good things and say, you know, I don't need to change. I'm very religious. He didn't. He did exactly what he was told to do. And he was baptized. People have changed. But you got to admit what you're doing is wrong. It's not easy. And we get kind of stubborn about it because we've lived that way all of our life. We've been this person all our life, and we hate to change. But friends, the Bible is about people changing. And with the help of God, we can change. We can do it. Admit you're wrong when you're wrong. And just say it. Don't add to it. Don't try to, flour it up or butter it up. And when you sin, admit your sin. Confess your faults, James says. Do what? Confess your faults. Well, preacher, I don't guess I got any faults. Well, I guess he's not talking to you. I guess he's not talking to you. You ever done that? Confess your faults one to the other and pray one for the other. Have you ever in all your life, ever one time, confessed your faults? When's the last time you did? When's the last time that you confessed your faults to someone else and said, I need you to pray for me? Friends, I had that happen to me just this week. Somebody asked me that very thing. Confessed. That's right. And asked for prayer. You know what that person showed? They showed the desire to change. They showed humility. They confessed what they were doing. They said, I want you to pray for me. Isn't that wonderful? That we would be humble enough to say, I need to change. This is not the person I want to be. This is not the life I want to lead. This is not the way I want to go. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. It's hard to admit being wrong. But brethren, remember this. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And that's judgment. Someday in judgment, your knee will bow. You may never bow before the Lord now. You may never confess His name now. But someday you will. But it won't be for your salvation. Now's the time to make it right. Whatever it is, and I want to stress this with you tonight, please, that you're doing wrong in your life now, turn away from it. Let it go. Do not continue to live that way. Just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what are we going to do? You've convinced me of my sin. What am I going to do? You've got to let it go. You've got to turn away from it. You've got to have the courage to repent. If you hadn't been baptized, you've got to be born again. You must be born again. You must go into the watery grave of baptism. If you are a member of the church and you have done wrong, come back, walk the aisle tonight. Come back tonight and confess your faults. Come back tonight and confess it and forsake it and ask for prayer, and God will forgive you. Won't you come? As together we stand and we sing.
Something great is for you.